for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, July the 1st, 2017. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Soul Tie.
Father, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you that you're our King, our God. We love you. We worship you. We loose your holy angels into this place. We ask you to bring down your kingdom upon our lives, Lord. We pray that your kingdom come, your will be done, that you be glorified above everything, Lord. Lord, we thank you that every person here is going to go home changed by your mighty power. We ask you to cover us with the blood of Jesus. We just bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over us, witchcraft, voodoo. We break in Jesus' name. We send it back on the enemy in the name of Jesus. Seven times over in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that the boulders that are rolled against us will go back and crush those rolling it. The nets they hide, their own feet will be caught. The pits they dig, they fall in Jesus' name. Lord, we bless every person that is cursing us with salvation, with the fear of God, with the conviction of sin, with the spirit of repentance in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord. We bless you. We lift up our president, Lord. We thank you that you're filling him with wisdom. We thank you that he loves America. We thank you, Lord, for the change that he's already brought. And, Lord, we just loose your angels against all the opposition to block them. Tie them up, gag them, and put them on spiritual sticky flypaper in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We bind the strong man over this camp, over the lives of every person. We bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places, and on this earth we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you're bringing to my remembrance everything you said. Lord, we thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven, that you watch over your word to perform it. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to let me be a tree of life in Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of you have been getting some deliverance just the short time you've been here? Put your hand up. Praise the Lord. Deliverance is, like Carla said last night, if it hadn't been for deliverance, I wouldn't have made it. Some people say, you know, I would just like to go back and live my life over. Not me. I might not make it next time. At one time, somebody called me Miss Job. And I was nothing like Job, Lord. I'm not exalting myself. I don't even want to be tested in that area. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Deliverance is a lifestyle, as Carla said last night. It's a part of the sanctification process. If you're not getting sanctified, if you're not changing, you're going the wrong direction. God wants us to be changed by His glory. He wants us to go from glory to glory and strength to strength. And so the first thing that, well, I want to say this too. I encourage all of you who've been here for the first time to keep coming back every time you can. I've been coming since 1997, and every time I go home, I'm different. And I thank the Lord. Deliverance in a nutshell is just James 4:7. Give yourself to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee. That's what deliverance is. You don't need a deliverance minister, but sometimes a deliverance minister can give you insight that you, maybe some added knowledge that you need to know, because it's the truth that sets you free. And it says in John 8:32 that if you abide in his word, you're truly his disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I believe the Bible teaches that if you're not a disciple, you're not getting to heaven. Because a disciple is a person that disciplines themselves, lets God discipline them. And it says in Hebrews 12, if you're without God's discipline, all of us that claim the name of Christ, we are We're going to be disciplined by the Lord, because the Bible says He disciplines every son whom He loves. And so it says in Hebrews, if we don't receive God's discipline, we're bastards, and we're not even His. And so all of us are getting disciplined, but some people listen and some doesn't. And so the first thing I want to talk to you about is, what do we say this to? Getting ahead of myself. 99.9% of the deliverance that I've gotten over the years has come from just sitting out there, don't even know what I got delivered from, but it's just self-deliverance. Every day I get delivered of something. When I'm reminded of some sin that I've done that a long time forgotten, because you don't remember everything you've done. You're a spiritual garden, and there's things that have been planted down in you that comes, what's in your heart comes out your mouth, and what comes out your mouth, you know what's down in your heart. Something's been planted there. Or if you have evil thoughts coming up in your mind, you can know there's things been planted down in your heart. And if you're watching movies, I can tell you where the cuss words come from. It's just what watching the movies. That's planting seeds of curse words. You may not be a person that curses, but I can tell you, you'll have those thoughts because of what you're planting down in your spiritual garden. And so most of the deliverance that I've gotten has been just self-deliverance, just repenting. Repenting when I have a problem, Lord, show me what you're trying to teach me through the problem. And if you don't remember anything else, whatever you go through, ask the Lord to show you what He's trying to teach you through what you're going through, because He's got a lesson in everything you go through. His answer is in God's Word. And if you're here, you know, years ago I taught out in California to a bunch of people, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I know these people all believe that they're believers, but I know they're not all saved. Lord, how do I teach somebody how to be saved? And the Lord said, teach them to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. That's what Jesus said. And if since you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, and that's not been your heart to deny yourself, you need to get saved. There's a difference between a head knowledge, because the Bible says that the devil and even his demons, they tremble at the Word of God. They believe in Jesus. But being born again, you have to have your heart. When you're born again, everything about you changes. You're still a work in progress, but you have a new heart, a new mind, and a new desire. And I'm telling you, God's not boring. The gospel is exciting. And so if from the time you've received Jesus as Savior, you've not been born again, you need to be born again right off the bat. You need to ask the Lord. You know, I accepted the Lord when I was 18 years old at a Billy Graham crusade. And I kept cussing. My life never changed. Kept telling dirty jokes. Nothing about me changed. But I was born again when I was 25, and I can tell you the exact time it happened. I was reading the Bible to try to help my sister who was going through a divorce. And I found God for myself just reading the Bible. I wasn't in church. Read the whole New Testament, and when I got to the scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, all things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And I thought, that's what happened to me. And so, you know, we're born again by the Word of God. We receive the Word implanted that's able to save your soul. And if you're a believer and you're not in the Word of God, I'm telling you, the Word of God is essential if you're a believer. You're going to have to read the Word of God and repent over the Word of God. And I do that when I read the Word. And I have a difficult time reading at this point paper notes, because I'm waiting for the manifestation of my healing. But I have to put it on 48 and pull up a Bible program on 48 font. And I've discovered that I can read the Bible that way. Or I listen to the Word all night. I've been listening to the Word since 1992, every night, as loud as I'm talking. And that's putting the Word of God in my spiritual garden. And another thing is just cutting and pasting and sending myself an email and letting my phone read it to me. That's how I've had to struggle. And it's been a battle to do it. But let me tell you, it's your lifeline. The Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. The Bible says His Word is forever settled in heaven. He watches over His Word to perform it. So if you're a believer, you need to be born again. Has what you believed in your head ever got down and changed your heart? I really know the day that I got saved, it was, I don't even remember saying, Jesus, I receive you as Savior. I was fixing to commit adultery. And it was like the fear of God hit me. I mean, I committed it in my mind, but I didn't. But I'm saying the fear of God hit me because I grew up kind of being a good girl at school, had a good reputation as being a good girl. And I always thought I was just good. But when I had those thoughts, I thought, dear Lord, lightning's going to strike me. Lord, cause me to get out of this or not want this. And you know that was when I was born again. It was like a storm going on in my life. And it was like the storm was over. And so I was in the kitchen right after I was born again, after I realized I was born again, and a curse word came out of my mouth. And I used to curse terribly. And a curse word came out of my mouth. And I just said, Lord, that doesn't sound like anything a Christian ought to say. And the Lord delivered me that day over 54 years ago. And so if there has not been a time since you received Jesus that your heart has been transformed by God's mighty power, you need to be born again. So what I want you to do is I want you to stand up and ask the Lord to show you, are you born again? Are you saved? Do you know if you die this minute where you'd spend eternity? And I know you're all believers in your head or you wouldn't be here. But has it got down into your heart? So pray for me with me. Lord, I ask you to search my heart and test my thoughts. And Lord, show me every unclean thing in my life. Lord, have I been born again? Do I need to be born again by your mighty power? And Lord, if I ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, I want to make a commitment to you, make a covenant with you to be your holy bride. And Lord, if I haven't been born again, I invite you to come and be my Lord and Master. And Lord, forgive me for not being willing to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. Lord, you said there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. So, Father, I want to be on the narrow way. I want to deny myself. And Lord, I thank you that this doesn't mean I'm perfect, but this means, Lord, that you who begun a good work in me will perform it in the day of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, if I have not received you as Savior and Lord, I receive you now. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sin. I thank you, Lord, that I'm a new creation in Christ because of you. And I invite your Holy Spirit to possess my body and drive out every evil spirit in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I put my hand to the plow and I don't look back except to deal with whatever sin you show me in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You can sit down in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. And I want to share, I lost my notes on soul ties. I had a whole message on soul ties. So I'm going to teach as long as God puts that in my heart, and then I'm going to do something else, whatever you show me. Okay. But a soul tie is a connection in the spirit realm. You can be connected like a string, like a thread, like a rope, like a cable, like a chain, depending on the depth of sin that you've been involved in. A soul tie, through soul ties, you can get the sickness of whoever you have a soul tie with. You can get the mental illness of whoever you have a soul tie with. You can get the confusion of whoever you have a soul tie with. You can get the emotional problems of whoever you have a soul tie with. You get the demons of whoever you have a soul tie with. And you'll be conformed into their image just through a soul tie. And so, you know, Jonathan and David had a healthy, good soul tie. So there's good soul ties and there's bad soul ties. The scripture says, when one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. So through a soul tie, you can rejoice with whoever you're rejoicing with, and that's a good soul tie in the body of Christ. But in a negative soul tie, when one, for example, when one's depressed, you can be depressed because they are through soul ties. And so it says in one of the curses in Deuteronomy, because of disobedience to the voice of God and his commandment, God says that he'll scatter you among all the peoples of the earth. And one way you get scattered is through a soul tie. Through a soul tie, you get a part of the person that you have a soul tie with, and they get a part of you. And so when we break soul ties, you can break them however the Holy Spirit shows you. I just do it. I had done a word study on an image. Like how the children of Israel, they exchanged God's glory for an image in the form of a beast. And it says in Romans 8 that everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, to the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew He ordained to be conformed in the image of His Son. So the purpose of what we go through is to be conformed into God's image. But through a soul tie, you get conformed in the image of the one you have a soul tie with, through people controlling you, through you controlling others, which is witchcraft. Don't let anybody control you. The Holy Spirit's the only thing that's supposed to control you. And of course, we're supposed to submit to authority. Jesus in authority, but we don't have to submit to demons. And you're not going to say, I'm not going to submit to your demons, because you're in rebellion when you do that. But Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when King Nebuchadnezzar commanded them to bow down to their golden image, they just said, oh, King, we can't do this. And so they did it very politely, but they didn't bow down to the golden image. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they obey me, and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger. The voice of a stranger is the voice of another. And I wrestled with that for many, many years, because I would submit to things that violated my conscience. And God does not want you to violate your conscience. He gave you a conscience because He wants you to keep it clear through repentance. And certainly God wants us to submit to authority as unto the Lord. So thank God for godly authority. You know, when I come to this camp, normally I wear pierced earrings. But when I come to camp, I submit to their authority. I don't wear that. Because I want God to anoint what I teach. And so I want to submit to Merrill and Patty and Kevin's authority. And I thank God for Patty and Kevin and Linda and Rick and Merrill. We just love you so much. You've done such a tremendous job being overseer of this camp. It's the best camps we've ever had, in my opinion. So thank the Lord for that. But through a soul tie, you get scattered. And Jesus said, if you're not gathering with me, he spoke this to disciples, if you're not gathering with me, which he was talking about deliverance, you're scattering. And so that's one way that deliverance is. We gather people from all the places where they've been scattered through soul ties, because you can have a soul tie with 1,000 people. Whoever you sin with, you're going to have a soul tie with them. Whoever sins against you, if you don't forgive them, you have a soul tie with them. Every time you let the sun go down in your anger, you've got a soul tie with something. And so soul ties have to be broken. I see more people heal through breaking soul ties than anything I've ever seen. I mean, in any ministry I've ever done, in all the years I've been in ministry for 35 years, I've seen more people heal through breaking soul ties. And so when somebody hurts us, if we let the sun go down on our anger and we don't forgive them, the next day it's unforgiveness and then it's bitterness, and bitterness is like poison. It ends up killing you. So the good news is that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he shed his blood that you might have healing and deliverance. And so he sent his word to heal you. He didn't send folks, but they can help. They can patch you up. They can shift it around. They can sew it up, take it out. But a lot of times it's ineffective because it leaves you worse off than when you started. And so, anyway, the Lord will have to instruct you as to what he would have you do. I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying it to glorify myself, because the Bible says if you boast, you're looking for trouble. So I'm not doing this boasting, but to teach you. I haven't been to the doctor except to have cataract surgery in July and October in 26 years. I've had taken no medication in 26 years, and I'm almost 80 years old. And I thank God for the strength that he's given me for divine health. But I continue to repent of everything he shows me. And I'm still so much a work in progress. There's so many, in fact, the more I walk with God, the more I think, dear Lord, why did he ever save me? And I mean that honestly. I feel like I'm more of a spiritual wreck than I've ever been in my whole life. And I'm saying that honestly. But I thank God that we're all a work in progress, and we're all, God has begun a good work in us, will perform it into the day of the Lord Jesus. But one way to get healing and deliverance is to break soul ties with everyone that sinned against you, everyone you sinned with. You can have soul ties through taking drugs. You can have soul ties with whoever you take drugs with. I remember there was a girl living at my farm, and she hadn't been on crack in 10 years. But when somebody would come through the farm with a crack addiction, she began to pray crack. And so as we ministered, the Lord taught me that through a soul tie, she was having cravings with people she had taken drugs with. So through a soul tie, through taking drugs, giving drugs, selling drugs, receiving drugs, and sinning with whoever you sin with under the influence of drugs that maybe you don't even remember what you did. You can have soul ties with an angry person. The Bible says, stay away from an angry man lest you become like him. Well, why is that? Because to get along with an angry person, if you've ever lived with an angry person, if you jump this high, then you have to jump this high. And if you jump this high, then you have to jump this high. You have to compromise to make them happy. You can't ever make them happy because they always keep raising the bar. And so that's why through a soul tie, being around an angry person, that means associating with an angry person, you become like that person through a soul tie because you've compromised because of fear of man or whatever, walking on eggshells or whatever you have to do to please somebody. That's a soul tie. You can have soul ties with anyone you let control you. That's witchcraft. God doesn't want anybody to control you but His Holy Spirit. I know there's many, many men that I see let their wives control them. And I can tell you, that woman hates that man and will attack that man if she lets him control her. Women will end up hate. I don't know what it is about a woman that they'll do everything they can to get their way, and then when they get their way, they hate your guts. So men, stand up and be the spiritual leader of your house. If you want your wife's respect, well, I'm afraid she's going to leave. Well, let her leave. She'll realize she had a good deal and come back. And if she doesn't, you don't want her. Anyway, just cancel that part, okay? Anyway, I'm thankful. I'm a very happy widow, and I appreciate godly marriages. There's some godly marriages in our church and some godly men. I don't think I've ever been in a church in all my years as a Christian and have been around so many. We don't have a whole lot, but the men in our church are the most godly men I've ever been around. They just are. In fact, when you have a prayer meeting, in most churches, it's full of women, and the men don't come. In our church, the women have a tendency to stay home and the men come. So thank God for godly men. And my grandson's one of them. My son's another. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. But through soul ties, if you sit under an ungodly teacher, the scripture says in Luke 7:48, don't quote me, that after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. So if you sit under a pastor, for example, that's got a whoremonger spirit or a spirit of adultery, or he's shacking up with his congregation, or he's even has a spirit of lust, you're going to become like your teacher. So you need to make sure, even though there's no human that's perfect, just Jesus, make sure that whoever you're sitting under has got as pure heart as they know how to walk in repentance. Can you think of any other ways that Randy and Herman and Jean, Randy? Do you have your hand up, Randy? Or is that Randy?
My head.
I'm looking for answers right now. No. So sexual sin especially, you can have having sex out of wedlock or petting, or I had one girl tell me her daddy had molested all the kids except her. And I said, did your daddy molest you too? And she said, no, but I knew he wanted to. You know, that's spiritual molestation. And so through sexual sin, you get the demons of whoever you have a soul tie with. And now I'm finding out, of course, it's just a soul tie, but finding out that when you get involved sexually, the women, and I understood Shannon to say the men too, Randy, that you...
It's the seed of the man that goes into the woman that is up in the front.
You want to explain that? You want to do that?
Well, there's children here. The seed of the man ends up in the woman, and that DNA ends up in her brain. That's how the two become one.
You see that too in the spirit realm, that's a faux pas, that's a medically speaking. They know that's been something they discovered medically. But praise God, you can break all that through breaking soul ties. You can have soul ties with pornography, looking at pornography, because Jesus said if you look with lust with on a woman, or if you look with lust on a man, you've committed adultery in your heart. And so physical adultery, there's spiritual adultery. The scripture says that if you join yourself with a harlot, you become one with her. And so, in the areas where you're joined with a soul tie, you're one with the harlot. So it tells you not to, I can't think of the other scripture, but it says you're not to join yourself with a person of Beelzebub. Where does that say that? 1 Timothy 6 or 2 Timothy 6? I don't know the scripture, so I'll just scratch that one because I can't remember offhand. But anyway, you're not to touch the dead, because demons won't live in a dead body. They'll go to a live body. The Bible forbids touching the dead. So even, you know, walking on graves, touching the dead, being in a room where a person died, you need to break soul ties. Going in hospitals, you have a soul tie with wherever. In fact, the Bible tells you not to go into a room where a person died. Because without going through ceremonial cleansing, and so when you go in a hospital and they put you in a hospital bed, my friend Velma that used to travel with me said that as a nurse, a person would die in a bed, they just have to sheet off and move somebody else in the same bed. So you can get things transferred just through the hospital beds, through the instruments they use to abort women. The instruments they use on another person, you can have soul ties with whoever touches you. So if you do go into the hospital or if you do go medically, you need to break soul ties with the doctor, because if the doctor's got soul ties with 500 people that have had cancer, you can have those cancer spirits transferred to you by the laying on of the doctor's hands. The scripture says don't lay hands on anyone too suddenly lest you receive their sin. So that's another way you can have a soul tie. Blood transfusions, giving blood, taking blood, the life's in the blood. I've seen people's personalities totally change after they've had a blood transfusion. I've had people tell me that after I had a blood transfusion, I had an anger problem. Years ago, in fact, I still have the article somewhere. It was in People's Magazine some years back, and it was an article. It was written, it was a secular article, but it was written about, can a new heart change a person's personality? And so in this article, there was a man who had had a heart transplant, and he got this young man's heart. And his wife said after he got he was 70 years old, and after he got the heart transplant, he began bicycling 10 miles at a time. He'd go into a candy store and gather up all the candy. His wife said she looked for him to be jumping out of planes next. Another girl had a lung transplant, and all of a sudden she wanted Mexican food that she didn't like before. So you get the DNA of whoever's blood you have, you get the DNA of whoever's body parts you have. I shared this in a seminar once, and a person came. This is a true story, that a girl who had a blood transfusion, the person whose blood she got, someone killed that person whose blood she got, and she, the girl who got her blood, identified the murderer exactly through the DNA. So there's just a lot we don't understand, but praise God that Jesus made a way that we can get free of all that. We don't have to keep soul ties. The sin of it is just to continue hanging on and keeping your junk and keeping your demons, and if you don't think you need deliverance, you really need deliverance. I've never met anybody that didn't need deliverance, ever. And if you want, whatever you want to call it, your life's going to change your life. But there's no deliverance without repentance. So giving blood, taking blood, play acting, taking on roles. That's why a lot of movie stars end up killing themselves or overdosing, like the guy that was Superman. He ended up in a wheelchair. No, he was in to be Clark Kent. There's there's just so many things, even in movies, movie stars, you can get soul ties with whoever you watch on television, movies, and you get soul ties with people you lust after. And so, do y'all have anything you want to add to soul ties, since I don't have all my notes?
What about animals?
Bestiality, you can have soul ties with animals. Yeah. No, I didn't. But tattoos, piercing your ears. And if you had your ears pierced, you need to break soul ties with whoever pierced your ears or pierced your body because the Bible forbids it. I had my ears pierced years before I knew that, so I didn't let them grow up, but I did break soul ties. And so I told Glenn once, I was wearing these clip-on earrings. I said, Glenn, this was Meryl's daddy, I said, Glenn, these earrings are killing my ears. He said, well, stop wearing them. Anyway, so I don't wear them. They fall off. I lose them. They fall off. They hurt my ears. So anyway, well, bless the Lord. Well, stand up and let's deal with your soul ties. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to let me know the truth that sets me free. Lord, show me anyone I've had a soul tie with. With congregations, with pastors. Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. And repent of everything you did with that person, or if anybody hurt you, forgive them. If you don't know who hurt you, forgive everybody who's ever hurt you. And after you forgive each person you have a soul tie with and ask God to forgive you for whatever you did with that person, then you can sit down. Father, in Jesus' name, pray with me. I forgive each person that's hurt me. Forgive me for the sins I've committed. With each person you've shown me, I forgive those that have sinned against me, hurt me. Lord, whether I remember their faces or not, or if I can remember their faces or their names, but Lord, any person that's ever laid hands on me or hurt me or spoke evil to me, I forgive them all in the name of Jesus. I break soul ties with every person that I've named, every person who's ever touched me or hurt me in a negative way or spoke evil to me. I call back my soul and my human spirit back from them. I send back their souls and their human spirits back to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for giving blood, taking blood. Forgive me for associating with an angry person. Lord, forgive me for sitting under false teachers and teachers that have not taught me to live uprightly before you. Lord, forgive me for tattooing the body. Forgive me for piercing my body. Father, forgive me for associating with an angry person. Forgive me for letting anyone control me. Husbands, I forgive me for letting my wife control me. Wives, forgive me for not submitting to my husband as unto the Lord. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for hatred, for unforgiveness, for bitterness, resentment, anger. Lord, forgive me for letting the sun, y'all be praying with me, forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger and turning to a false god instead of turning to you. In the name of Jesus, forgive me for sexual sin. Everything I ever did with any person, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for sexual sin in Jesus' name. I forgive me for whatever I did, and I forgive anyone for what they did to me. Forgive me for taking drugs, giving drugs, selling alcohol. Forgive me for the sins that I've committed under the influence of alcohol. In the name of Jesus, Lord, forgive me for perversion in Jesus' name. You know, stand up again. I'm going to do it this way. I want you to go back to the sexual sin. I want you to go back as far as you can remember. And I want you to think about every person you've ever had sex with and forgive them for everything that they've done and ask God to forgive you for what you did and then sit down. If you weren't in the prayer thing this morning, and some of you, we went through this morning, but if you've already done it, you can go ahead and sit down. But just sit down. But go back as far as you can remember in your childhood of anybody that touched you or pornography or anything you've looked at or any bitterness toward your wife, men, any bitterness toward your wife for not giving you all the intimate relationship, not having an intimate relationship with you, you need to forgive them because that can affect your body. Being bitter and angry that you didn't have your needs met can be another root to problems, big problems. Forgiving, Lord, for sitting under false teachers, becoming like my teacher, looking at pornography. Forgive me for bestiality, fornication, masturbation, lust, lewdness, wanton spirits, sensuality, perversion, molestation. I forgive anyone who molested me. Break the curse of incest. Forgive anyone that put me through a satanic ritual. I renounce every ritual I've ever been put through. I forgive every person in that ritual. I cancel, nullify, make void every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, a ritual that was spoken over me or they made me speak. I break in Jesus' name. Break every yoke off their neck. I break their yokes off my neck. Ask you to burn out any push pins or any tracking devices in the name of Jesus. With the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I take him out of all the swallowed up places in the name of Jesus. Break the power of fear, anxiety, stress, nervousness, panic, hysteria. I break it off of every life in Jesus' name. But I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut the body parts of every person that's touched any of these people off them in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, I take them off of their private parts, out of their womb in Jesus' name. I take them out in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Any implants we remove in the name of Jesus. We break all yokes, all harnesses in Jesus' name. All cords, all chains. All ropes, we break it in Jesus' name. Take off the grave clothes in Jesus' name. Unwrap them up in mummies in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Break the power of rebellion in the name of Jesus. Stubbornness, we break off all yokes. Yokes of bondage, we break in Jesus' name. We command in the name of Jesus, every demon power that came in through soul ties, we break your power. We command you to go now in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. Take a deep breath. All the familiar spirits, all the demons of every person they have a soul tie with, come out now in the name of Jesus. We break your power. All fear, come out. Spirit of fear, we break your power. Stubbornness, perverseness, we break your power. Depression, despair, hopelessness. Unbelief, doubt, lies, lying, every lie they believe, we command you to go now in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that the truth sets them free in the name of Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, all frigidity has to go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Move in their lives, Lord. Bring down your kingdom in Jesus' name. Your kingdom come. Set them free. All sickness, distress, disease, infirmity, all sickness that came in through doctors, through medication, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of statin drugs, come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. We break off the yoke of iron off of every person's neck. Lord, forgive us for disobedience to your voice and your commandments. We break off every yoke of iron in Jesus' name. We break all yoke. Lord, we receive your yoke, the yoke of heaven, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. But I praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. And Lord, I take them out of all those swallowed up places in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And then I want to share about the glory of children as their fathers. I meant to do that this morning and forgot. But The scripture says the glory of children is their father's. If a child had a good daddy, it'd be like he'd have an, in the spirit realm, he'd have an aura in the spirit realm, or like a nimbus around his head, and the demons would say, you better leave her or him alone because they've got a daddy. A daddy that's protecting them. If a child has a daddy, they have an aura around their head, and the aura, the demons say, you better leave her or him alone because they have a daddy. Well, the good news is you might not, most of you, I'd probably be saying, last night when Carla asked how many had a good daddy, there was two people that put their hands up. I know there was four or five in here that had good daddies, maybe more. But most of you didn't grow up with a good daddy. And most of you, your daddies did not be your glory. So Lord, I forgive my dad. But the good news is that God's the greatest father you could ever have. And he wants to be your glory. And you can't live in sin and expect to have God's glory. And so, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I forgive my father that he was not my glory. I forgive him for being there but not there. Pray with me. I forgive him for never being there, for abandoning me, for not being the spiritual high priest of the family. I forgive him for not protecting me, not watching over me, not coaching me, not teaching me, training me in the way I should go. I forgive him that he was not my coach. I forgive him that it was like a boy at a football game that didn't have a daddy to wear his jersey. I forgive my dad that he was not there. And Lord, I forgive him that he was not my glory. And Lord, I ask you to be my glory. Put your hands up and receive God's glory. Lord, I ask you to come. Everybody that didn't have the right kind of daddy, it's the hands. Ask God to come and be your glory in the name of Jesus, Lord. Come and be my glory in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And Lord, we declare that from this day forward, when the demons look at them, they'll say, you better leave them alone because God is their father. In the name of Jesus. And then one last thing, I want to share the importance of God's word in healing. You know, the scripture says in Mark that Jesus said that you will have what you say if you don't doubt in your heart. And so, when I first started believing the Lord to heal my eyes, I 90% believed he wouldn't, but 10% believed he would. And I can say over the years of repenting since 2008, because I would quote that scripture, Lord, you said I can have what I say if I don't doubt in my heart. So then I begin to say, well, Lord, why am I doubting in my heart? And so, it's been a process of deliverance over the years, over this last, in 2008, I was diagnosed, and so 2017 is that 9 years, that I've been believing the Lord, and I can tell you that the faith level from 90% believing that he wouldn't, 10% believing he would, now I'm down to 99%, 99% believing that he will, and I'm still like 1%. But anyway, I can see how, as I've repented, how my faith level is picking up. So if you're saying something over and over, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, and this little voice says, you know, you have doubt, you still got, your conscience is not clear in some areas. Because in 1 John 3:21, it says, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. And so as long as you have that doubt, you don't have that confidence, which means faith and trust in God. It also means freedom of speech. So if there's some people you can have freedom of speech with and some you can't, there's something about your conscience that God wants to clear. And so how many of you believe in the Lord for something? By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I say that over and over and over, nothing happens. One reason is we're doubting in our heart. So we've got to find out why we're doubting in our heart. And another thing is that we're spiritual gardens. And so all the time you speak negativity over your spiritual garden, it's going to grow doubt, unbelief, thorns, and thistles. And so the Word of God, the Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God. Psalms 107:20 says he sent his Word to heal you. And before he says that, he said there were those who dwelt in darkness and misery and chains because they had rebelled against the Most High God. And then they cried out to God, and he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their distresses. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, comes and the snow comes down on the heavens, and does not return there without accomplishing the matter for which, without watering the earth, making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, his word will not return void without accomplishing the matter for which he sent it." Okay, if I'm always speaking negative things over my spiritual garden, that's what's going to grow, right? So I have to change my way of talking, because the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity, and it sets on fire the very course of my life. The scripture says in James chapter 3 that if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. Does it say that? The scripture says, "You overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony, and you love not your life." The scripture says that his word is spirit and life, and he watches over his word to perform it. The leaf withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. His word rejoices my heart, renews my mind, makes me wise. John 8:32 says, "If I abide in his word, I'll know the truth, and the truth will set me free." So I have to keep on seeking the truth that sets me free as I abide in his word. And then I have to change, because what's in my heart is going to come out my mouth. If I'm doubting in my heart, it's going to come out my mouth. If I'm doubting up in here in my mind, it's going to come out of my mouth from my heart. So that means I need to listen to what I'm saying, because what I'm saying is coming from an issue in the heart that's not yet dealt with. Does that make sense? If I keep saying, you know, "I'm blind, I'm this, I'm that, I can't see, blah, blah, blah," I'm speaking death, words of death over my spiritual garden, and it's going to produce words of death. It's going to produce death. But if God's word always accomplishes the matter for which it's sent it, I can't tell you the importance of us speaking God's word over our spiritual garden. So if I keep saying I'm blind, or I've got cancer, I'm sick, I'm dying, I'm this, I'm that, Jesus said you have what you say if you don't doubt in your heart. Well, we speak these negative things and we're not doubting it. You know what I'm saying? Because we need to get God to heal our hearts so that we can believe God. Does that make sense? So, and this works with our families and our children too. We have to keep speaking the word of God. Those of you who have little children, you have to keep speaking the word of God over your children, because Jesus said, as you think in your heart, so are you. So we got to change our thought life by aligning it up with the word of God. And so, speaking blessings, there's power in blessings. When you bless somebody, the grace of God is carried out to bless that person with what you say. If you speak negative, then what you're doing is planting demonic things in your children's spiritual garden. And so that's going to change. As our words change, we're going to see people change, we're going to see ourselves change, and we're going to see the victory that God wants to bring in all of our lives. And he wants us to have victory. It's not hopeless. The good news is, the very fact you want to get healed and delivered, God's going to do that. Amen? But it's a process. It's a process that takes a lifetime. I've never been through much trauma, I mean, even though people say I have, but I can tell you, it's a lifestyle. And it's something that you have to keep on doing. Whatever, something's wrong, Lord, what's wrong? What are you trying to teach me through this? And then repent. In Jesus' name. And so, Lord, pray with me. Lord, forgive me for speaking negative words over my life, my mate's life, my children's life, and the people I love. Forgive me for speaking words of death. Forgive me for not speaking your word over our spiritual gardens, because your word does not return void. And so, Lord, I thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. And so, Father, I pray for every person who's believing you for healing, that you will heal each person in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for your divine healing. I pray, Lord, that you cause us to be able to say what we want and not what we see. Forgive us, Lord, for looking at what we see and saying what we see rather than saying what we want. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you're the answer for everything we go through. So Lord, we pray with me. Lord, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. And Lord, I offer to you my members as instruments of righteousness. I give you my will, Lord Jesus, that your will might prevail. In Jesus' name. Now every demonic, and Lord, forgive me for not being in the Word. Forgive me for not reading your Word, embracing your Word, loving the truth, wanting the truth. Forgive me for not being your disciple, Lord. I want to be your disciple. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for the truth, Lord, that sets us free. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And Lord, we pray for the food. We ask you to bless it, purify it, sanctify it. Bless those that have prepared it. Lord, thank you for another day of freedom in America. Thank you for giving us a president, Lord, that loves this country, that wasn't voted in for France or another country, but he was voted in for the American people, Lord, and that he's made us a priority, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the religious freedom that Christians have now because we have a new president. Lord, we just thank you. We ask you to bless him. We ask you to bless our going in, bless our coming out, bless the children. Thank you that you're protecting the children, Lord, that your angels are all around our children out there at the lake, that, Lord, we thank you that you're protecting them. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.